We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Firefighter Brian Meyer is here from the Quincy Fire Department as they stop by once a month just to talk a little bit about fire safety. And today we're going to start not with fire safety, but with your chance to have an exciting career as a Quincy firefighter. And this doesn't happen very often that applications are open, but there's always somebody retiring, so let's talk about this. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mary. Yes, so every 2 years we open up the hiring process.
Only 2 years, that's amazing, really.
Yep, the idea is to keep a list of eligible candidates, and then as that list dwindles down towards the end of 2 years, we start all over again. So August 1st, the applications open, with September 28th is the testing date. You have to be at the test date on September 28th to test. It's a written test. Soon to be released is going to be the actual flyer for what it all includes. But the main things to point hit is you have to be 21 and a half years old to test at the day of the test. So September 28th, if you are 20 and a half years old, you can test. You can be no older than 34 years old to test. Unless you are prior military or active duty military, then we have get into the weeds about age limit of that. Typically, it's about under 40 years old. Like I said, it's a written test on September 28th, and then once those test results are inputted, they will alert the candidates into when they're interview is with the police and fire commissioners.
Okay. There has to be some kind of physical test, too, I'm certain, but that probably comes later after. Is there a physical? There has to be a physical test to be a fireman.
Yes.
Yeah,
so you have to have your CPAT, which is Candidate Physical Ability Test. It's a card. It's a statewide test used to do physical or to assess physical fitness, and it's a pass or fail test. And you just have to have that card by the time the job offer is extended to you.
And by the way, that wasn't Firefighter Brian Meyer popping open a cold one there. That was me opening my bubbler. I didn't want the chief to say, is he drinking on the job? He's drinking water, chief. Don't worry. We're all having bubbler water here. Refreshment Services Pepsi sponsoring the Mary Griffith Show. So this is a chance. Now, the interesting thing about this job is, like, usually if I say, oh, I need a job, so I'll go out and I'll apply, and I'm hired within a week. You know, I'm applying for a clerk job at Walmart, or I, you know, go down to my local grocery store and want to be a checkout girl or something, or I get a job in a retail sector, you know, selling merchandise. Those jobs, you know, I get hired within like a week. But this, if you want a career in firefighting, you have to kind of think about it and plan for it, because from the time you decide you want to take the test and then pass the test, it could be up to 2 years before you're hired, right?
Yeah.
Or it could never happen, I guess.
Right. So, yeah, you do have to think ahead on it. And the reason is because there's background checks and lie detector checks and all that stuff that have to be done. So having that list prior to sending a job offer out is important. Right now we're in the process of hiring four new guys, hopefully starting in August, send them to the Fall Academy. And over the next 2 years, there's going to be quite a bit of retirements coming up. And
I heard about that, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So you need four, right? I mean, you need four right away, but those will be from the old list, right?
Yes, that's from the current list, and we're about halfway through that current list right now. So
Once you're on the list, you have to keep going back and taking the test again, or once you're on the list, are you on the list?
The list is good for 2 years, and then once that 2 years is up, the list is no longer good, and you got to start over again. So if you don't get picked up on this year's list, you got to test for – or this current list, and you got to test for the next 2 years list. And like I said, we're about halfway through the current list right now. So it's – if you're on the list, it's a good possibility that you might be getting a call to get hired. So,
okay.
So, I mean, you don't have to be the top one or two anymore. It's – you could be halfway through or towards the bottom and get that call.
Uh-oh. Is Firefighter Brian Meyer able to stay? We'll find out.
We're good.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you brought up the retirements because, and again, I don't want to get anything above your pay grade or get you in trouble with your boss or anybody's boss, but recently the Hannibal Firefighters, not affiliated with Quincy in any way, their union rep spoke up at a city council meeting and said, morale is low, pay is low. We've got a lot of guys, you know, that are eligible for retirement. We're worried about how we're going to fill the ranks. We're also concerned that neighboring cities, and they name Quincy specifically, have higher pay scales. And so some of the experienced Hannibal firefighters could come over and try to get a job with the Quincy department. And, you know, I'm sure that is concerning for a lot of departments. You know, there always is competition about, you know, where you want to live and how much money you want to make. And right now, they've changed the rules in Quincy. You no longer have to live within the city limits to be a Quincy firefighter, right?
Yeah, so the it used to be the rules that you had to live within the county.
In the county.
Yep, and now it is extended, I believe, as to 40 miles.
So you can see why Hannibal would be somewhat concerned that their best and brightest could apply to jobs that are open in the Quincy Fire Department. I'm not asking you to be the chief, but could you just explain, like, obviously you test for these younger people and you test for people up to the age of 34 who want to start a career as a firefighter. If I'm already a firefighter and I want to apply, is it the same thing? Do I still have to take that test and do I still have to sit for that exam and do I still have to go through the interview process? I'm sure I'm still going to have to be hired on. I just won't be hired on probably at some kind of starting rank, I would assume.
Yes, that's correct, is that you still have to go through the same process as everybody else. The fire department doesn't do lateral hires like the Quincy Police Department does. So we treat every applicant the same. It's you start out doing the applying, testing dates, interviews, all that stuff, background checks, and then you start out at the bottom.
Really?
Yep.
Even if I'm like fourth in command in Hannibal, you start out at the bottom?
Yep. As a fire, getting on the Quincy Fire Department, you start out at the bottom and you work your way up. And
well, that can't be true for chief, though, because if an outside, I mean,
I don't have say in
any of that.
So
this would be for
stuff.
The rank of file, yes. For union members. But, I mean, administrative, if somebody, I mean, because you couldn't, then you'd always have to hire, I guess, from within, mm-hmm. because nobody could, they wouldn't leave to be the chief of, you know, Champaign-Urbana to come to be the chief in Quincy if they had to start out as, you know, host.
The police and fire commissioners make up those rules about hiring the deputy chiefs.
But that would be higher level police, yep. would allow for a lateral move, as we say. But it's interesting to know that, you know, seniority doesn't transfer from another department. So they'd have to start from wherever the job opening was, and then you work your way up the ranks. Okay.
And I want to also say that if you're interested in being a firefighter, trying to get on at Quincy, is you don't have to have any firefighting experience at all. You don't have to have any medical experience or anything like that. When I joined back in 2018, I came out of the Army in 2015, went to school for a couple years, and then decided Quincy Fire Department sounds like a good job. We send you to 9 weeks of fire academy. And then if you don't have your EMT basic license, we'll send you to school to go get that. So, I mean, you could just go from a career that has nothing, no cross-training whatsoever with firefighting, EMS, or anything like that, and then get on the job and be successful.
Okay. So the training is provided. So,
yep.
You know, again, if you already have that kind of experience and you want to apply, then you're going to be in the same pool of applicants as everybody who has no experience. But things have a way of working themselves out, I guess. My guest today is firefighter Brian Meyer, and we're talking about opportunities for jobs at the Quincy Fire Department, and you're going to have a lot of retirements, like you say, coming up. So you're hiring 4 firefighters that will start at the academy this fall, and then 8 firefighters will somehow join the group in 2025. Is that what you're projecting?
I don't know those numbers for sure. It's obviously up to
the
guy.
Well, people may not retire.
Right.
They may be eligible to retire, but those 8 may not retire. So.
Right. Yeah, there could be no retirements. There could be a lot of retirements.
And
but
there
we
could
do
be people who don't fill out their whole thing and say, I just don't want to do this anymore. I'm leaving early. So.
Yep, it's all a possibility. But we do foresee in the next 2 years and next 4 to 6, there's going to be a good amount of guys leaving the fire department, retiring, and And so it's going to be a really great opportunity to get
opportunity to get in on the ground floor and then be ready for all those opportunities above the ladder, above you. And you can attest it's a good job.
Absolutely. It's the best job in the world.
Okay. Well, we won't get in a fight with the police officers. The Battle of the Blue will not happen here on the Mary Griffith Show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some safety. We had a dryer fire. You know, it could have been disastrous. It was turned out to be almost nothing, but, you know, it could have been disastrous. People are always doing fireworks, whether they should or not. So there's lots of things that are happening in the summer that can be dangerous, and the firefighters have some, they have some advice for you, and we'll just leave it at that. We'll be back. It's 9:30. Brian Meyer is here. He's a firefighter with Quincy Fire Department. And just this week, we had a dryer fire. It turned out to be, you know, nothing special. Of course, it was my house, and my house was full of smoke. I think it was something pretty darn special or unspecial, as the case may be. You know, it's ironic. The lint filter in a dryer is there for a purpose. And I know sometimes I'll clean out my dryer filter, and if I've done a couple of loads of towels and maybe some flannel sheets in the winter, I mean, that thing is cascaded full, yet there are people who I don't think they check their lint filter in a year. So it really is something that you do have to kind of keep an eye on. That can cause a fire. I mean, that's highly combustible. Lint is highly combustible.
Yeah, I mean, you got a heating element in there, heating the clothes up, get them dry, and just little fine bits of clothing just get accumulated. And I can't say that that was, I don't know the exact cause of what it was.
Yeah, we don't know the exact cause of that. But
I mean, it came in on June 12th at 2039 hours for Kentucky Road. Initial crews arrived on scene, had smoke inside the house. They went in and found a dryer on fire. They were able to put it out with minimal water damage to the house. It could have been a lot worse. Things that we can do to prevent it is cleaning the lint traps. Cooking fires is another big one. Grill fires. This time of year, everybody wants to be outside grilling. Make sure just things that you're using are clean and serviceable. Also important to have working smoke detectors inside the house. That's the number one thing that we want to get across as Quincy Fire Department.
Hold on just a moment. We'll see if he has to go somewhere.
Okay. So having working smoke detectors, that's going to be your alert that something's wrong. And that's going to, you know, hopefully signal to if you're sleeping, if you're not in the room or whatever, saying, hey, something's wrong. Find out what's wrong and then call 911 if it is anything that may be serious.
Well, and you guys always say, and I've done news stories on this, quoting many different firefighters, don't be afraid to call 911. I mean, we're there to serve. If we get out to your house and it's a false alarm or it's something really, really small, don't be embarrassed. That's what we're there for. Because fires go so fast, if you wait 3 minutes walking around going, gee, I hear my smoke alarm going off, I wonder what it could be. If that's up in your attic, for example, or if that's down in your basement, by the time you find it, you know, you're in a serious situation then, and you guys are there to protect lives primarily, but you also protect property. And in order to protect property, you have to get there early enough to put a fire out when it's just in the dryer. It hasn't spread to the whole laundry room and then to the kitchen, and then pretty soon you got a whole house burning down because it could happen.
Yeah, you said it best, is that we're here to serve. If you think there's a problem, if there's any inkling of a problem, don't hesitate to call. Fires double in size every minute. And so 3 minutes down the road, you finally decide to call, and that fire's 3-6 times bigger, however the math works out, it's exponentially bigger, and it's going to take us another couple minutes to get there. By the time we get the call from dispatch and getting en route and on scene, so the sooner someone calls about an emergency, the sooner that we can get there to mitigate that, and our main priority is life safety, second is property. And I mean, we're professionals, and we do our best to do that in that order. We want people to be safe. We want to protect their lives. We also want to protect their property. I mean, we all live in homes too. Yeah. And we would all be devastated if something like that happened. And so we treat everything as if we're going to our house or a family member's house. We're there to serve, and we want to help.
Now, let's talk about 4th of July. Now, we all know that fireworks are illegal in Illinois, so nobody would ever, under any circumstances, but just in case you accidentally lit off a bottle rocket, talk a little bit from a firefighter's point of view, not about the legality of fireworks or the safety of fireworks, although people will blow their hands off and stuff, and that will happen this year, we know. But, you know, a bottle rocket or a sparkler is thrown somewhere and it ignites. And you can't tell where that bottle rocket's going to come down. If it comes down on your neighbor's house three houses away, it could start the roof on fire.
Yeah, absolutely. Fireworks, bonfires, trash fires, all that stuff can cause not your house on fire, but somebody else's house on fire. With this heat that we're experiencing right now, and there's very little rain in the forecast, yards are going to start getting dry, brush piles are start getting dry. And just a stray sparkler, stray bottle rocket could start another fire. And we wouldn't be happy if a neighbor was shooting those off and then it caused a fire at my house or your house. So we just ask people be safe, people be smart about what they're doing, and be conscious of you live in the city and you have neighbors, and just be cognizant of
that.
And
they may not be home, so they wouldn't notice if their roof was on fire. So, I mean, and talk a little bit about what is the protocol, because there are certified fireworks displays. There'll be one at the country club. There'll be one down on the riverfront. There'll be fireworks. We used to have them at Gems Games. I almost said at the Gems Game, but they're not here this year. When there is an organized display that you've got a license for, does the fire department kind of stand by nearby, or how does that work? Are you kind of on call because you know that there's a danger, there could be a problem?
Yeah, so it used to be at the Gems Games or Country Club when they do their fireworks display, or the big one here in town, whether it was out at the Vets Home or on the island, we have a crew go down and stand by down where they're where they're shooting off the fireworks to make sure that there's no, whether it's a fire or a medical emergency, we're there quickly and help.
You're already on scene.
Yep.
So if there would be a horrible explosion and somebody setting off the fireworks was burned, you'd be there to render medical aid immediately. If some trees caught fire, or if some building structure down caught fire near the fireworks display, you'd be there right away with water to put it away. So you are being proactive when legal fireworks displays are being shown.
That's great.
Anything else for the good of the cause? It looks like you got three calls backed up there that you have to go for. Your buddies leave you?
No.
Would they do that?
No, that was on the east end town. That was
okay.
On threes. But just one more thing is with this heat coming.
Oh, yeah.
Right now it's hot. It's going to get hotter over the weekend, and I think the 45-day forecast is there's not too many days that's not above 90. So just be cognizant of the heat. If you're working outside, drink lots of water, drink electrolytes. Also important, check on the elderly. You got elderly neighbors, family members. Check on them, making sure that they're doing okay in this heat, and just be safe out there.
Okay. Thank you for checking on this elderly woman as I hydrate myself with a bubbler from Refreshment Services Pepsi. Brian Meyer, firefighter, Quincy Fire Department, thank you so very much. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Ernie Reddick will be here talking about the one-room schoolhouse and country school reunion. But first, we have to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. This report is brought to you by Pioneer. Thank you very much. And now we turn our attention to Ernie Reddick. I thought I saw Ernie last year. No. Get right up to that microphone, Ernie. You got to get real close to him. Just pull it to you. Yeah, there you go. Ernie, it's been a while since I've seen you. This is how time flies.
That's right.
But you are here because you're kind of responsible for the country school reunion. This is everybody in Western Illinois, Northeast Missouri. If you went to a one-room, a two-room, a three-room schoolhouse, or you just had a little country school, where everybody went, now that country school's out of business, you know, those little country schools are all gone. But people like to get together and reminisce about this. And so on June 30th of this year at South Park, pretty much at high noon, they're going to try to eat around 12:15. Everybody get there at high noon. They'll get the picnic table spread out. We're going to talk about the menu. They're going to have a band that's going to play at 1 o'clock, the Hearsay Band. But, Ernie, you want to invite everybody June 30th to come out to South Park and just to bring their memories.
Yes. We put it into Brown County paper and, Golden paper, or Camp Point paper, and we're trying to get more people out involved in this.
Well, I know that, you know, every one of those counties, and even over in Northeast Missouri, everybody had a one-room school. I mean, they're not existent anymore, but the memories are what you're trying to keep alive. And also, there's kind of an educational aspect of this. I hope somebody is recording some of these, because this is living history. And, you know, grandkids and great-grandkids would be amazed at, you know, how different school was back in the day. Right, Ernie?
Right. Well, when I went to Leroy School, that was a two-room schoolhouse. And that's down on Radio Road. And it's still standing there. And I had us kid walked a mile to school and a mile back home every day. No matter what, raining, snowing, or anything, we walked it.
You walked it, and you there was no other option,
right.
Was there? That's right. You're going to get out and walk it. And so this thing that's happening at South Park, everybody is welcome, even if you didn't go to the school, but maybe your parents did. In other words, you want to really sit and relive those memories, and
yeah,
you should bring some kids, because children, like you said, walking a mile to school, even in the snow. Did you ever have a snow day back then?
Yes,
or you just
mm-hmm.
Okay. So sometimes school was closed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if ever you just like whoever could show up could make it. I know probably during thrashing season and harvest season and plant season, there were probably some days that were declared holidays.
That's right.
Everybody went to school when it rained and when the sun was shining, some of the kids didn't go to school that day. So it's going to be great. Talk a little bit about the menu, because you've been so gracious. You provide the meat. That's why people need to RSVP.
Yes.
And we're going to give a phone number here. So get your pencil ready, because we want to give you a phone number. Because Ernie's buying, folks. I mean, Ernie's going to provide most of the thing, and then you just bring a dish
a covered
to help. So what's on the menu?
Well, I'm going to have fried chicken and ham and and soft drinks. And everybody bring a cover dish or a dessert, and we'll have a wonderful time.
And can I tell you, everybody always brings dessert. Don't bring too many desserts. Bring some actual food. There are some vegetables that are really good.
I hope you can make it out there.
I can't. I'll be in California.
Oh.
I will not be able to come. I think I went one year years ago, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, you sit around and listen to the stories that people tell. So this is at South Park on June 30th. Arrive at noon. Bring your covered dish. It doesn't matter what you bring. Bring something to share. And Ernie will have the fried chicken and the ham there. And everybody, you want them to bring their own service? Bring your own?
I will furnish the paper plates and silverware. And I have cups there if they want to put ice in for their drinks.
Okay. So if you want anything else, you just bring it. But bring stuff to share, the covered dish. Here's the number to call, because it's really important, because he doesn't know how many people are going to come unless you call. 217-242-9978. That number again, 217-242-9978. What kind of crowd are you expecting? Because unfortunately, the number of people who firsthand have knowledge of this is dwindling.
So far, I have got about 50 people already called me.
I think that's phenomenal.
So, and I tell them about the band, and they're so well pleased on having a band there this year.
Yeah, let's talk about that. The Hearsay Band is playing that afternoon. It's a Sunday afternoon, right? June 30th?
Yes, ma'am.
Sunday afternoon, June 30th. The band will start to play at 1 o'clock after everybody's pretty much done eating.
Yeah.
And they'll play, and people will talk, and there'll be little breaks that the band will take, and somebody might get up and tell a story about an adventure they have. The Hearsay Band. How'd you get in touch with them? I mean, you must know that everybody likes them.
When I come down here to see about getting on your show, he was standing talking to one of the people that lived here. And I was telling him about it. And I said, would you be willing to come? And he said, well, yeah.
Well, so, that's great. That's working out just fine. So, folks, I know the Hearsay Band plays a lot in the evenings at the Senior Center, but if you're one of those people that doesn't drive and you want to get out and enjoy a daytime concert, is there any cost at all to attend this?
Well,
or any?
We're going to take a collection.
Right. I mean,
but
anybody can come if they just free will offering.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you have 50 people already that are interested. We'll give that phone number one more time. You want more and more people to come. And people who, you said, you know, obviously you want the people that have firsthand experience, but you want them to start bringing some of the young kids so
that
they'll know.
I tell them to bring their family.
Yeah.
So that, you know, we can all get acquainted. And one year there was two ladies from Bowen, Illinois. And they said, well, we didn't go to school down here. And I said, you're welcome.
Oh, absolutely. Because can you tell a story? I mean, just either one that they related or one that you can relate. What are some of the, like a vivid memory you have of going to a country school?
Well, back then, we didn't have inside restrooms. And, there was four of us boys. The teacher had to go out to the restroom, and so us boys grabbed a rope and tied the door shut. And she made us stay in for recess and noon.
Now, you obviously let her out. How much yelling?
No, we didn't.
You're kidding me.
So somebody else went out there.
Ernie Reddick? Ernie may have been expelled from school. He may want to see other people's memories because he doesn't have any because he got expelled. Oh, you boys were evil. Oh, that's pretty funny.
But, you know, we was all like a big family.
Sure. It was almost like playing a joke on an older sister or an aunt. Yeah, that young school teacher, I'm sure. So those are the kind of things that will bring a smile and a chuckle to everyone's face. And, of course, you know, my dad used to talk about how my grandma would make him two hard-boiled eggs, and he'd hold those in his hands right out of the hot water in his mittens in the winter, and he'd walk to school with those hard-boiled eggs clutched in his mittens to keep his hands warm,
yeah.
And then by lunchtime, they'd cooled off, and he'd crack them, and he'd eat them, and that was his lunch. So the hard-boiled egg, I think a lot of kids at country schools got hard-boiled eggs for lunch because
yes,
that was a way to keep warm. And putting plastic bags over your shoes and all that kind of stuff that you did in the country.
You know, when we got electric in our house for the first time was back in 1954, July the 20th.
July the 20th, 1954.
We had the old kerosene lamps and candles, what we seen by.
What was it like to flip that switch?
Oh, we just flipped those switch, Dad said, don't wear it out yet.
You were fascinated by that, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
How old were you then?
I was, I just been at five. About 9 years old.
Now, Ernie, 1954 seems kind of late to me, but, you know, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not, ma'am.
Wow. So that's how long it took for rural electrification to get to your farmhouse.
Yeah.
It was just, they were moving it down the line, weren't they? Just putting up poles, putting up wires, and whoever got hooked up next, they got hooked up next.
We all had a wonderful time, though. Us kids, when we would get out of school, we'd all meet up my house. We'd get a baseball game, and we'd play baseball. And this one little lady, she says, Ernie, would your mom make us some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? And I said, well, I asked her. I said, she's standing right there. And I'm scared. I said, Mom, she wants to know if you make some jelly and peanut butter sandwiches. Well, yes. And she said, do you want to help me, Lindy?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, that was when family was more than just what you were born into, but the whole community pitched together and helped. Well, folks, I think you can understand why Ernie Reddick has the personality that is perfect for party planning and perfect for this kind of event, the Country School Reunion. Don't worry if you went to a school that was a little bit bigger than a one- or two-room schoolhouse.
That's
they
right.
want you to come because the way things used to be done in those old country schools, that's fun.
Yes.
Now, if you can top Ernie's tying the outhouse door closed with a rope and trapping the teacher in there, that'll be there should be a special prize for that. This is June 30th at South Park in Quincy. That's down on the corner of 12th and Harrison. Ernie does need to know you're coming because he's going to provide the fried chicken and the ham and all the soft drinks. So please give him a call. Let him know you're coming. You might want to tell him what your covered dish is so that, you know, if everybody's bringing a green bean casserole, he can tell the fifth person, why don't you bring something else? But 217-242-9978. That's 217-242-9978. They're going to eat pretty much right after noon. Yeah. Everybody get there at noon. They're going to eat. By 12:30, they'll start talking and sharing, maybe in a big group. And then at 1 o'clock, the hearsay band will start. It's fun, and you can get up and dance or just tap toes or do whatever you want, sing along with them. And the stories will evolve from there. So we want to get some good stories from what life was like
now,
in the country school.
There's that pastor from 8th and Harrison, I can't think of the name of the church, is going to say the blessing.
Oh, I know what church you mean. Yeah, that's a beautiful church, yeah. So he'll be coming over to the park and saying the blessing.
And I told him that he gets to eat free.
Oh, good. There is a free will offering, but please don't, you know, just bring a covered dish, bring something. They'll have everything else you need there. And, you know, it'd be great. And bring the kids, too, because there's lots of... this is at the main shelter house, I'm sure,
yes,
in South
ma'am.
Park, and there's a kids' playground right there. So, you know, if the kids are bored and don't want to hear about every story ever told, they can go out and play in the playground.
That same day is my sister and brother-in-law's wedding anniversary, and they're going to get remarried.
Oh, you're going to have a recommitment?
No, they're getting married at St. John's.
Oh, okay. And then they're coming over?
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I just redid our vows over in Poland. I don't know. He kind of mumbled. I don't know.
56 years.
He kind of mumbled, but I said mine real loud and out loud. Thank you so very much, Ernie Reddick. That number again, 217-242-9978. If you have any friends that don't know about this event, Ernie wants to spread the word because he wants to get more and more and more people to come to this country school reunion, June 30th, South Park. Going to eat right about high noon. Hearsay band plays at 1, but all the fun and activities will be between noon and 1 when there's a lot of sharing of what went on back in the good old days.
And
so
if they got pictures, bring pictures.
Bring some pictures, bring some stories. They'll love to hear it. That's all we have time for today. Thank you for joining me on The Mary Griffith Show.
Thank you.